Hello, and thank you once again for joining us for Riding Through the Ages, our revolving journey through the eras of Kamen Rider. I am Eric.
And I'm Eugene.
Today we will be in our one gross episode, also 144.
One gross.
And we will be watching Kamen Rider 01, episode 35, entitled, What Do Human Gears Dream Of? It aired on May 10th, 2020. It was written by Masaya Kakei and directed by Sojiro Nakazawa. And so this is the last episode before the break.
Oh, okay. So like
before
this
the
happens,
specials.
Right.
And then it'll be five specials, I think it is.
Right. And that's going to make up for, because this would be where COVID happened, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the five specials that we're going to watch in order
are going to be like what they just aired to have something going on while they were closed down.
Okay.
During the height of it.
Right. Which is unfortunate, knowing like where the last episode ended.
Yes.
With Jin coming down and Arto's like, oh, like now he feels all betrayed.
I don't know if it's Jin. It is.
Oh, so that's right. That's right.
It was Kamen Rider Jin burning Falcon.
Right. It's burning Falcon. Right.
We don't know if there's Jin inside it or if Jin's being controlled. I think he's being controlled because Naki's out.
Yeah. They just got Naki out. Right.
Yeah.
And even then, it's like we don't necessarily, just because he landed there. I can't remember what it was. What were the stakes of that fight for Arto?
He got the key.
Okay, yeah.
He got the Izuguchi key.
Yeah, because he was going to, so they can get all four back.
Yeah. And then Jin, Hirobi just killed that lady that he killed the Humigear.
Humigear lady.
You remember the greenhouse girl?
Oh, yes. I forgot that. I was
didn't
like,
even transform her, just straight up murdered her.
Right, yeah. And then the kid just picked up a Raid Rise kit.
Yes. And then all the Raid Risers are going crazy.
Yes. Which is not on Guy, was not on Guy's
plans.
Yes,
Guy's freaking out.
Well, we call them Raid Rise. The Zyaspec.
Zyaspec.
The Zyaspec's causing everybody to Raid Rise.
Yes, yeah.
Not the Raid Risers are going crazy.
Yeah. you can watch this one. You can watch it on Tubi, Shout Factory website, Pluto. You could buy the DVDs. It's like $40 to buy the full season, which includes the movie and the specials.
And a poster.
And a poster.
Well,
if you get,
I think maybe. I think
the poster was like limited time.
The pre-order.
So, yeah. So for a lot of people, I just want to talk about a second for about the fact about how good of a deal that is.
Yeah, it's really solid. Holy crap.
I was on Japanese Amazon because I go there sometimes because I have a Japanese Amazon account that I had when I lived there, and I can still ship things to like America from there.
Mm.
Somebody else totally lives in the address now that like is on my account. But so just for a guess, how much do you think it would cost to buy the full season of 01? Not the movie. Movie's separate. Just the series of 01.
Okay. So here's the thing. Judging on how stupid some of the other stuff you told me has costed, I feel like I want to say 120 and it's still not enough.
It costs to buy the whole series $640.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's what I was talking about. That's absurd. This is probably like each disc costs, you know.
It sold in three box sets. Each one costs $112. No, $212.
$212, yeah. Wow. Such a bad
That's not
deal.
Even, I don't even think it's counting tax.
Oh my God.
And then the movie is like $80.
Yeah, because I knew like games were like absurd where I'm going, I thought I was complaining enough about stuff here, but dear God.
$640 to buy Kamen Rider 01. That's without translation.
Yeah. Just,
and I don't even know if those have the specials on them.
Oh.
They might. I don't know.
Yeah, that's just... No
but
thanks.
It's stupid ridiculous. Like, what could be gone this is I saw that they were coming out with the first box set for Revice, which cost $200-something. Same. And I'm like, oh, I wonder how much 01 is if it's gone down. No.
No, same price.
No, okay, so it is marked down. You can get them each for $200.
Woo. It's a savings.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm just saying $36 is a lot if things are going to cost $600. I mean, like, you got to save that up.
Yeah. So, $640 for 01. I was just like, seriously?
Yeah, who knew that a Kamen Rider was an inaccessible hobby?
Yeah. Like, the belt costs $60.
Yeah, how much do you love your kids? Not enough to get them Kamen Rider. but enough to get him the belt.
Yeah, I've explained about the fact that, like, yeah, all physical media just never went down in price, ever.
So weird.
Like, CDs still cost $30.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that makes sense why they would be protecting, like, their rights on YouTube so vehemently. Like, AMV, strike it down.
Yeah.
How dare you have an animated music video?
But also, the other thing is that there is a much stronger secondhand market in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, we've discussed that before.
Yeah, so
it comes with the good. There's good, you know,
people take care of their stuff because they spent $200 on this box set.
Yeah.
So when they do take it to a recycle store and you go buy it for like $80, you're like, oh, it's like it's brand new.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so some bad with the good, some good with the bad.
Yeah.
The base price is absurd, but you can always get it from somebody else who smoked.
But but then you look at, like, books are way cheaper.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like,
because they, like, you know, you go on, just like you said, Japanese Amazon, and it's like you can get a manga for like $1.50.
Yeah.
Whereas, like here it's $12 or something for a volume.
Like, the brand new, like, if you wanted to get, like, I think it's 102 is the most recent volume of One Piece.
Mm.
Like brand new, I think, is $5.
That's really not bad.
$5 or $7 or something like that. And yeah, it's like $12 per volume here or something like that. And to be fair, there is more people involved in that because then there's translation and stuff. But still, it's like, but it, that that applies to, like, most books are actually a whole lot cheaper than like written thing. But also, like, there's a lot of, like, recycling and stuff like that.
Right.
But,
that's true.
But yeah, it's like
recycled paper versus freshly chopped tree.
Yeah. And it's like, it's hard to do that with a CD. But yeah, so I was just like, what, $600? Like, people probably thought I was crazy, and I was just like, yeah, I'd pay $100 for a season of Kamen Rider, because I know.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going to get use out of it, replay value, like, you've seen Double how many times?
Five.
Yeah, five. So if you were to have a Blu-ray set of Double, you know, with the feature films and the eventual anime that kind of thing, maybe if it came with promo tie or something like that.
Yeah.
I'll spend $600 on that. I mean, I don't know if I would, but I could see, like, if you had a collector's edition box set.
Yeah, and like a video. And I kind of wish that video games did cost $100 because then I'd buy a lot less of them.
Yeah. It'd also help you get a little, like, less crazy. Like, you'd be more specific about what you
get. Yeah, I would prune my selection a bit.
Right. You wouldn't just have a game that you bought and it's been sitting on your shelf for a year.
I have
and a
dozens
half.
Of games that are still in shrink wrap.
Yeah, like, not, it's not talking about your Steam library. Okay. Right?
I just bought like 8 games.
And the thing is, there are things that I'm willing to spend a little extra money on. Like, I happen to know, I'm a victim of that because I bought a $500 book, which was the fifth ultimate edition of Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Because it was price gouged to infinity, and I could probably resell it for more than that now. But I've read it so many times. I've enjoyed it every single time I've read it. There's, like, I know this is what I want, right? Mm-hmm. So $500, it's way more than I wanted to spend, but I don't want to just have 4 volumes on my shelf and then have a fifth one just sitting there.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be reminded every single time of how I would have it by now if people didn't buy them all up and try to sell them for $1,000.
Yeah.
Assholes.
Even though you're like, maybe I should sell for $1,000.
I know. I don't know. It's like now I've been driven. It's like, you see, you know, do that whole die a hero long enough to see yourself become the villain. It's one of those situations. I had to wait so long for my PS5 that now I'm like, they're doing an expose on some douche in Britain about how he makes his living off of reselling. And you see a box of shoes or something. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the walls of Nikes.
Yeah.
That kind of thing where I'm like, I just want to freaking have your collection is like, so I can sell it, son of a bitch.
They say it, but it's just like, it's not like, because I've looked into it and like all this stuff, and like they say all of these like massive amounts of money they're selling for, but if you take away like how much they've paid for it and like shipping and stuff like that, they're basically just working a normal job, and they work about the right amount of time as a normal person. Uh-huh. It's just a slave.
Like, you're just making life miserable for everyone else to make a base wage that you can get from working at McDonald's and at least have friends doing that. Yes.
Yeah.
At least because like the first time I ever heard of this, like way back when I was a kid, was it was people that would buy and sell Air Force Ones. Now, I'm not saying that was the first example of it ever happening. Mm-hmm. I'm saying my entrance to the price gouging market.
Yeah.
Because I never, like, you might have heard it on TV, people being like, I got these tickets off a scalper or something like that. But I never really thought to look up what a scalper was. And it's not like Google was the biggest thing. You know, I didn't even have a computer until I was like 13. I mean, I was familiar with a computer through school. Anyway, too much context. What I'm trying to say is, the guy, what he would do, he would buy the brand new special edition Air Force Ones. He would wear them one time, and then he would sell the Air Force Ones for more money than he bought it for. So at least he was getting something out of it, because he wanted the Air Force Ones. It's just too expensive a hobby for him to have every shoe in the world. Like, if he was Kanye, he would have one pair of every single.
So it's like he got to wear one pair of every shoe.
Yeah.
But he was paying for his habit with his habit.
Yeah. So at first I was like, fine, you know, I can see it. And then as I saw more and more examples of it, I'm like, oh my God, it's actually way more sinister.
I think
the more you look into it,
it was Magic cards when I first started seeing it.
Oh, that's a good example of it. Yeah.
Just buying it boxes and boxes of it and stuff. And just like trying to like people selling it. Like, we live in a small enough town that there was no place to sell them here, so.
Yeah, because, like, right after that, my next actual, like, live experience of it was Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Mm-hmm. So it's always, I feel like, collectible cards, right? Like, it's such a danger. But there used to be, like, they would do the tournaments at, like, a bookstore, and there was this guy there that was selling them, or, like, making trades out of a duffel bag. And I never did it because I'm like, something feels off about it. It was basically, he was either trading you a counterfeit card or a card that's worth a lot less than the actual monetary value of your card. And he's like, you know, 30 something, and these kids are like less than 10. So they have absolutely no idea what's going on. There really need to be an adult to come up and be like, dude, what the hell are you doing?
That's like child exploitation.
I will beat you up if you don't go away. But I was old enough to be like, this is weird. I'm just not dealing with that. I'll go play cards over here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just one of those things looking back.
And then I remember the comic book boom.
Oh.
People buying comic books as investments.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing that happens. What happens is one ultra rare something sells for a huge profit.
And then everyone thinks it's the next thing, right? Beanie Babies.
Yeah, Beanie Babies, you know, Pokemon cards, like video games, like a copy of the original Mario Brothers just sold for like $500,000 or something like that. But it was like the original version of Mario Brothers for the NES in the box, like limited edition second run that only had like so many. You know, there was tons of the first edition, tons of the third edition, second edition was so, you know, so it's like people don't look farther into it to find out. No, the reason why it sold so much is because most people don't have these.
Yeah.
Nobody wants your scratched up copy of Paperboy with your name written on it in a Sharpie, you know?
Right. Which, again, so going full circle now back in the conversation. So Japan has a nice resellers market. So if you can't buy the $600 collected edition of 01, you can get it used. Or you can get for $40 here in America. Yes. How cool is that?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
And if you do it now, you'll be able to, it'll come into the mail before we finish this cycle.
Yes.
And you can watch it on, you know, Blu-ray.
And then re-listen to all the episodes.
Yeah.
There has been some, like, I wouldn't say that there's issues, there's differences for the translation. And we only noticed it because we started it with a fan translation.
Yeah.
So, like, if we had never seen the fan translation, it'd be like, okay, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it would have been what it is.
Yeah.
Speaking is an example there.
Yeah. And then Scratch.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, I think it's supposed to be Slash. But actually, if you look at the katakana, it is Scratch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, so maybe
I just don't know what they
maybe
want.
Maybe they was actually supposed to be that. And then, like, the fan translator's just like, oh, that meant Slash.
Yeah. Well, I can see it'd be fair to make that assumption because
there was in build, they had Scratch drivers.
Scratch drivers?
Yeah, it was called Scratch drivers. And so I'm like, oh, maybe I think it was build, they had them. So it was just like, maybe that's a word I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's just something you're not understanding, or maybe there's a play on words there that requires you to know these two words plus
English word. It's a clash and slash together.
Yeah. Yeah. Clash, crash. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. So who knows? But other than that, it's fine. You know, support the official, I say, you know.
Yeah. Well, because we've said it before. Like, if you can watch it legit, it just shows them that there's interest.
Yeah. Like I said, like, Tubi and, like, Pluto TV, those are free.
Yeah. So it's, like, really all you're doing is adding numbers to data that they're collecting. Yeah. You maybe watched an ad or two.
Yeah. Big deal.
Right.
How many of you actually have YouTube Premium? Come on.
Come on.
How many ads do you actually watch? Yeah. You're like...
Yeah,
plus, and then inevitably on everything, there's just like, just use an ad blocker. Blah, blah, blah. Just like, what, man?
I mean, I will. Don't get me wrong. I will use an ad blocker. But it's really not as bad as it. We get, what, maybe one or two?
Yeah, so on Tubi? I think Tubi, we get one at the beginning and then one in the middle.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm trying to remember what service I was watching that had ads.
Oh,
Crackle. It was the CW. Like, app.
Was it like ads every 3 minutes?
No. It was like, so the ad spacing was fine. You know, for an hour show, they had like 3 ad breaks in there. No big deal. About the much like you would have if you watched it on TV.
Right.
But like, they would literally show the same ad 3 times in a row.
Oh, that would get old so fast. Oh, hell no.
Just like, what? I'm like, get some more ads.
Right.
Get different ads. It's like, I don't need any more detergent.
Yeah. You gotta be careful. You can't start saying detergent around, like, products, like anything that has recognition, like voice recognition. Because you're gonna start getting those commercials.
Yeah.
Like, say, you know, you don't see Stone Cold Steve Austin and iced tea.
Yes. Oh, man. It's probably one of the best commercials of my life. The fact that these things happen is, like, proof that we're not in the darkest timeline.
Yeah.
That we have a Stone Cold Steve Austin iced tea commercial about soap. Trying to tell people to wash their clothes in cold water.
That's not all bad.
That's proof that there's hope in this world.
Right. It's like, it might be the grayest timeline, but not the darkest timeline.
It's the lukewarmest timeline.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to go see, like, and we'll make a decision before we come back around the rotation. We might just watch all of the specials are together.
Yeah, all 5. It's definitely tricky because it, like,
so what
off.
I think we'll do is we'll do a pre-show with We Might, and then we'll watch the first episode and judge
and see what it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's just like 2 minutes of like new content, or if there's no new content at all, we'll go on to the next one.
Yeah.
So the episode numbers might be like also.
Yeah, it's gonna muddy up the rotation, but there's really no choice.
The rotation was gonna get muddied up anyways, but at the end of, because there was only...
Right. I was hoping it would be a little cleaner, like there's a clear end on something before.
But the thing is that we'll still have a rotation going on because there's still 3 movies.
Right.
3 01 movies. There's the 01 movie, there is the Mezuha Jinrai movie, and the Vulcan Valkyrie movie.
Yeah, so we can always like slot those in at some point.
We can just watch this at the end after, like, whenever we would come back to the 01 for the rotation, we could just watch one of the movies.
Yeah.
While we're going through waiting for the others to finish. So that should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like mini anime things and all these extra things we can watch with this.
Because I mean, also worst case scenario too, we could just say that we're up to episode 40 of 01, so we would just do 36 of the other 3 and then 37 of the other 3 and 38 of the 3 and so on until we're caught up.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, we'll talk about that. We'll figure it out.
But now,
for now, I want to see what's up with Jin. Like, has he gone rogue? Is he mind controlled? I mean, he was never really on the team yet anyway.
Yeah.
But you can see how Aruto feels a little
betrayed. Yeah.
A little betrayed.
Because he's like, we were part of something.
And then what's happening with Fua?
Yeah.
You know, like, he's been.
If Naki's out of his head, can he even transform now?
Yeah. Like, what's going on now?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. And then, like, what are you doing, Yua? You could kill him?
Yeah.
Like, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe she's got it all figured out. Yeah. But
like, that's the thing. It's like, maybe she does have it all figured out.
Yeah, maybe she
does. Oh, yeah. There was also, I think in the preview, it was going to be Mezuha Jinrai versus Zaya.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to happen, right? It's got to happen soon. So...
And you know it's going to end on a cliffhanger and we'll have like all these episodes.
Yeah, it's like, that's just it. We know this is going to be like the last like good episode for a minute.
Yeah, so the thing is like the ending of this show is going to have so many caveats.
Yeah.
Like, we'll try not to.
Right.
But it's like, we're going to have to give it some leeway.
Yeah.
So if it comes up with like even a decent ending, we're like, okay.
Yeah, like we're really going to have to judge it based on the movies after.
Yeah.
Like, that's when it's like the post, but that's really not as fair as it could be, just... COVID.
Yeah. COVID wasn't fair.
No. Maybe it was the ultimate fair. No, it wasn't fair at all.
You're like, that was me trying to play devil's advocate for a second. Then I'm like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, strike that from the records. It's like, I order the jury not to take any of that into account.
Consider the fact that you had it and I didn't. So it's like, okay, maybe it wasn't fair.
In my experience, it wasn't too bad, but I can see how it could go bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So we're going to go watch that and we'll be back. Okay. And we are back. And I think they made this ending knowing they were not going to come back for a little bit.
You know, I do feel like they put the budget, they turned the budget up. They
put the budget, but they also made it like it's a cliffish hanger ending, but it's also like mid-season cliffhanger ending.
Yeah.
Where it's not like they're in the middle of a slash.
Right.
There's like weird things happen.
Things are wrapped up enough that like
we could go 3 or 4 weeks without seeing something add up.
Right.
And be fine.
I would go so far as to say that even if this was the last episode, I would not be satisfied with the ending, but there's been enough done that I can draw a conclusion.
Without the final scene?
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, they intend to do more, but like, I could write my own ending now.
This could be like, if this was an American show, this would be a season finale.
Yeah.
And if they end it, you're like, oh, that's lame. But
yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Like, I would appreciate this ending more than some others.
Yes.
You know, some other act shows that I'm like, no, you cannot. Yeah. At least I have puzzle pieces and I can do my own jigsaw. I can make my own story now. But yeah, after having watched this episode, it's knowing that it's going to be kind of awkward from this point forward. So sad. I've been bumming about this happening for like 30 episodes of 01 or something like that. I can't remember when we started, but
probably ever since the at least from the companies when the company competition was going on.
Yeah,
because workplace competitions.
Yeah, because we were up to date for a bit, and then things have gone way off the rails since then. But at least then. So it's been almost a year. I've been bumming about or 2 years now. Yeah,
it's been a while. Yeah.
So, well, the entire time of COVID, I guess.
Yeah.
That I knew this day was going to come, and I was like, hopefully it ends in a weird place where I don't really care, but no. It's like, this is like the coolest, this would have been the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
See how it goes going forward, but it starts off showing again, the wrap up of the last episode with Gene swooping down, snatching the key from Aruto's hand, and the, you know, Naki coming back online, so we're reminded everything's going on, and Aruto's like, WTF, bro.
Yeah, Gene, what are you doing?
And he says... he's like, well, I thought you wanted to save all human gear. And he's like, I do, and I need Metsubo Genrai to do that.
So he's not controlled or anything like that. He's just like, dude, we had similar paths, but now we're doing different things.
Yeah. It's like he's not mind controlled, but he's drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
He's drank the Ark's Kool-Aid at this point.
And he's just like, I need Izuguchi to do this, and he starts to fly off. And then Aruto chases him, and I'm like, finally.
Yeah. No, this was probably one of the coolest parts of this whole episode, because he switches to Metal Cluster. He uses his locust to kind of like knock him out of the sky. And then as he's landing, he uses those locusts to make an additional like walkway, like
a ground for it.
There's a word for it. Like when you have something jutting out of the side of a mountain or something with like some posts there. Platform, I guess. Yeah. So he makes a Metal Cluster hopper
scaffolding
platform.
Type
scaffolding, yeah. So that they're fighting on that. And this is right next to this dam.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gets knocked off of it and he makes another one. So they're just like fighting all over the place. And then it becomes this like, Jin becomes like a dog fighter.
Yeah, and Jin's like launching
flying around shooting like
fire
feathers.
Fire feathers. And when did that become the thing?
I remember seeing it once, but not really.
No, like not here. Like in general, birds just shooting feather bombs.
Oh, dude, I honestly,
I mean, like
seriously,
like
good question.
The earliest I can remember is Archangel and X-Men.
Okay. Well, yeah. Like, when did it first become, like, the trope?
Yeah, trope where just, like, birds shoot their feathers at you. I'm just like,
yeah. Can you imagine if there really was a bird that shot its feathers at you? That would be, birds would be way cooler.
I'm trying to remember which bird it is. It might be eagles or falcons, but, or swans. But there is some bird. I think it might be one of the swans or something like that. Like, if they lose in accident they lose a feather on one wing, they naturally lose that feather on the other side.
Oh, they have to be symmetrical?
Yeah, so their flight doesn't get interrupted.
Weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see how somebody came up with the idea, you know, because they fly just like our planes do, or planes fly just like the birds do, sorry.
Yeah.
And they shoot stuff, so why can't the birds,
yeah.
right?
But yeah, the earliest thing I can think of is Archangel from the X-Men. And like, maybe, I don't know, maybe Pokemon did it, but X-Men came before. But
yeah, Archangel X-Men came
way before then, but yeah. maybe Harpies did.
Oh, hmm.
Maybe it's just like,
maybe that's an idea of it. Yeah, I'm sure there's got to be a trackable history for that trope.
But yeah, now it's just like everybody expects it.
Oh yeah, in this case, I'm fine with it. He was always from the beginning flying, and now he's a burning falcon, and it's like,
yeah, okay, whatever.
If, yeah,
it's like, right. But that's how he's able to counteract some of Metal Cluster.
Yeah. So he's, and also it's not like Arto is like trying to kill him or anything. Yeah. That's always the case. I feel like his power set is way stronger than him using it.
Yeah, but that's because Arto isn't bloodthirsty.
Yeah, it's like thankfully he's the one that has
this. Like, there are those times where he gets angry and he lays out that person.
Right.
Like in the last episode when he got angry at Hirobi. Hirobi stood no chance.
No, not at all. I mean, I'm just saying, imagine Thouser with Metal Cluster, right?
Yeah, like, it's just like anytime Arto's fighting Thouser's just laid out like no problem, mm-hmm. and then like when he's angry it's even worse.
Yeah,
it's just that it's not, Arto isn't a violent person by nature,
right? And his solution, he's not looking to beat up the bad guys in this case, he's trying to turn them over to his side.
Yeah,
that's always been the goal,
which is a very interesting thing for the main hero of an action show,
right?
Where he doesn't like the violence.
Yeah,
you know, which is like it's like, you know, thinking of things like, think about like Saber. It never really came up. It just, violence just was the thing.
Uh-huh.
It never was like, he was never opposed to it.
Yeah, not really.
And then like going back and like thing, it's like, because
it was always justified based on the situation.
Yeah,
so
and then thinking back to like, Arto is more closer in line with like our ones in the regular writing. He's more closer in line with Godai.
Yeah.
In his like mentality of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like Shotaro and Philip are like, Philip is just like robotic in the like, if violence needs to be done to solve the problem, then we solve the problem that way. And Shotaro is like a tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like a violent guy, but he knows that that's what's necessary. And then, you know,
71 is its own beast.
Yeah, he's a plot device. So right.
Yeah, because I feel like Godai in the same shoes would be handling in a similar way.
Yeah,
It's just that he's dealing with like, you know, murderous,
yeah,
killing,
you know,
you know, monsters.
Yeah. Well, you know, according to the way Arto sees it, Humagira humans
mm-hmm.
are equal to humans. So he sees like in his mind, Jin just killed a person, and in his mind, Guy is trying to exterminate a whole race, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's amazing he's holding back as much as he is, actually.
Seriously.
So anyways, they get down to the ground level, and Jin...
He's still trying to get...
Get away.
Yeah, Jin's still trying to get away, and Arto is still trying to talk to him.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still fighting. It's not like he's stopping or anything.
Yeah.
Just being like, you know, again, why are you doing this? And Jin not really offering any
answers,
and it's... Obviously, Arto is overwhelming him.
Yeah.
And he's coming for this one big, you know, final slash. Because Jin, like, shoots him with some stuff. He blocks it with his, like, sword, creating, like, an energy shield thing.
Yeah.
And then he goes to do a finisher. And right before, you know, maybe an arm's length away, the swing's coming down, Hirobi jumps in front of the way.
Yeah.
And so I would say Arto stops, because he's not transformed. If he was transformed, I'm sure he probably would have went through with it. But, you know, he has presence minus stop. And they're sitting there for a second. And Hirobi's like... Why did I do that? Like, he's shocked with himself.
Well, it goes to the opening.
And
then it comes back, and then they're like, why did I do that?
Oh, that's right. It's just, you just see the look of confusion on his face.
Yeah.
And then everything kind of stopped, and there's like a dramatic sort of turn in the camera thing. That's what happened. Then
and
you're right.
It goes to the opening, and then it comes back, and he's just like, why did I do that?
Yeah. And he's like confused. It doesn't make any sense. Arto's kind of hovering over. Because
Arto's a little confused by the whole thing too.
Right, you see Jin, he kicks Arto in the chest and like
grabs Hirobi and flees out, and then Arto's about ready to go after him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Izu's just like, Arto, people are going nuts.
Yeah, there's still, the rampage is going on, we need to do something.
So it's like, I'm glad, because at first I'm like, is he just going to get away this time, but he didn't get away the time before?
Yeah.
But no, they like they had a reason why Aruto didn't go after him, because he's like, Aruto's like, okay, well, I'll go after this thing.
Yeah, this is a kind of a bigger deal.
Yeah.
As weird as that sounds.
So they so we see scenes of
letting this terror organization get back together is less of a pressing concern than
desire rage.
Yeah. And we see like a lot of chaos going on, like 5-6 different scenes of
just Zaya like spec people settings. Wrecking people, like yeah. Choking people, like doing like all sorts of like
yeah, throwing stuff, destroying things.
It goes to the greenhouse. The sun is going ballistic. He's like
destroying a bunch of vegetables.
Throws his dad on the ground and all that stuff. And
his dad comes over and he's like, you know, Koichi, what are you doing? Stop. And he, you know, pushes him down on the ground real hard. Says the signature, you know, exterminate all humans thing.
Yeah.
And
then it goes to inside Zaya base, inside Metabujin Rice base.
And we see Naki there all red-eyed, her saying again, you know, exterminate all humans, that kind of thing. And Yua is over there doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And Fu, like, she's getting ready to walk out of the room, and Fu, like, shoots his hand out and grabs her ankle.
Grabs Naki, and it's just like, is this your dream? And Naki's like,
my dream?
Which is a trigger word to, like,
for everyone.
It's a secret code word.
Yeah.
It's the kill command. It's like the reverse of the Pee Wee's Playhouse magic code word. It makes everybody stop moving.
Right, rather than everyone freaking out, like,
yeah. Yeah, everybody's just like, my dream.
Shuts down.
And Fua collapses, and all the Zaya specs stop.
Yeah, like everyone, like they're all like, they come back, they're like, oh my god, are you okay? Because they realize what they've been doing, they realize people are hurt, you know?
Yeah.
That would be such a weird situation. Find out that
you just were wrecking the place.
For like 4 whole minutes, you were a zombie.
Yeah. And then it goes to a guy giving a press conference. Now, at first, I'm just like, oh, this is Guy, like, posting blame, shifting the blame, and then I'm like... No raid. It was actually an attack.
It was. it's just the way that
it's hard because we know Guy is a bad guy.
The thing, okay, the only thing that kills me about this, it's not a suck in any way because this is how it would go down, is that he's using the exact same logic that was in the defense of Human Gears in defense of the Zaya spec.
Yeah,
as if it's now suddenly an appropriate thing to say.
Yeah,
and it's so stupid. It's like, yeah, hey, I know all that just happened, but. Good news. I mean, he's not how he's saying it, but he's like, hey, but you did let us know there was a bug in our system. We fixed that, so it's okay if you want to keep using Zaya spec.
Which is exactly what they said about Human Gears, and he's just like, that won't work.
Uh-huh.
Which is, so there's this, in the tech world, there's all these things about, like, so Apple will do things, and then companies will make fun of them for it, and then do it.
Uh-huh.
So, like, they remove the headphone jack. And then they made fun of it, and then all the other major companies removed the headphone jack. Apple stopped shipping charging bricks in their phones.
I hate that.
and then company like Samsung made fun of them for that, and now they don't ship it with the my newest tablet. I mean, to be fair, I don't use any of their charging bricks because I have like a bunch of them, but not everybody has a bunch of charging bricks laying around. But it's just like, this is exactly what happened. It's just he can
get away with it because he has the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, even though we use that to blame our competition, now that it's on us, we're using the exact same logic.
Right. Because the thing is, the reason why he was so upset when this whole thing gunned down, he knows he's lost customers. He's lost revenue. This is guaranteed a loss of some kind. This is damage control, right? Yeah. Not everyone's going to abandon the product.
Yeah, because as we see like later on, some people need it.
Yeah, sometimes they don't
especially
have a choice.
Especially because they don't have a Human Gear anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They've like, now they need Zaya spec to just function.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would be the same thing as of like, if they were just like, oh no, cell phones do... melt your internal organs.
Yeah, no, confirmed. The longer that you have a cell phone in your pocket, the more of your liver and kidney and lungs and intestines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, and like...
become goop.
But now you've made it that I need it for life.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's no going back. All your credit card information's on there. Yeah. Like, all your bill payments and everything. Gotta have it for work.
Yes.
They got me. But so he's like, yep, so, you know.
But yeah, so, but it's funny because he's like shifting blame. It was like, it was a terrorist attack and all this stuff. And I'm like, Guy, you jerk. Yeah. You're actually right. It was a terrorist attack.
It was a terrorist attack.
He's it like, actually was not your fault.
Hey, it's not our fault. It's not our fault. It's not our fault, LOL. It's Metsubujinra. I remember they are a terrorist unit. They still exist. But it's okay. We're going to go kill them with AIMS.
Yeah.
We're going to go to war.
And then it goes to them. Jin and Hirobi. And Jin's just like, you see that?
Yeah, they're like, huh. Got like, a war, huh?
Yeah. And Hirobi is still like shanking. He's just like wondering like why he did that.
Yeah, he's still confused.
Yeah. So then it goes to Aruto, who's also watching this whole thing.
Yeah, and he's concerned with how what's going to happen as far as not like, I don't think he's concerned so much about...
He's worried about the repercussions if he doesn't care about Zaya.
No.
But he cares about the people that Zaya expects can hurt if Mitsubishi reactivates him again.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And so, and then it goes to...
Fool waking up in the hospital.
Fool waking up in the hospital.
Yeah.
And he's just like, and Naki's there.
Yeah, she's standing at the edge of the bed.
Yeah, and it's like...
And he's like, whoa, what, you know? She's like, oh, well, she says something first. She's like, this is the first time that we've met face to face.
And he's like, I guess you actually let you go. And that's when Yua comes in and she's like, you want to know about your past? Naki knows about your past.
And he's like, oh, that's right. And she starts rattling off stuff. She's like, you know, you were
born 26 years ago. You were
3,100 something grams. Yeah. And he's like, whoa, just stop. And Yu is like, what, you scared? He's like, all right, chicken, tell me what's up. And so it cuts away.
Yes. And it cuts away to Aruto, and he's talking. He's like, this isn't the first time that Hirobi protected Jin.
Yeah, and we see the first, so it flashes back to the first time. And I had forgotten this happened, honestly. Yeah. It's been so long. And she mentioned that when that happened, though, like when he jumped in the way of Aruto's finisher the first time, it was because the arc wanted Hirobi to activate Jin through...
It was the will of the arc.
Yeah.
And he's like,
well, not this time.
Not this time. So, like...
And he's like, very obviously not this time.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was confused.
Yeah. And he's thinking about the fact that Hirobi is a father-type Hima Gear.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
He gets a phone call, and he answers the phone, and I think it's from the father of
the greenhouse guy.
The kid.
Yeah.
And we don't really hear what's going on, but he's like, what's going on? You know, question mark? And it cuts to...
Back to the hospital.
Yeah, back to the hospital.
Naki's finishing up.
She's like, summary concluded. And they're all just kind of sitting around, and it's framed in such a way that you're thinking, wow, some truth bombs have just dropped.
And then Yua's just like, whoa, that is the most normal life I've ever heard of in my life.
And Naki's like, yes, it was a little, it's like pretty much incredibly boring. And he's like, well, sorry for being a regular guy.
I love that. He was just a guy. Like, the whole thing about it, it's like... Parents die, like his family, all this stuff dying and stuff.
No tragic past.
He was just a guy.
Just a regular dude.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, there's one thing that sticks out.
One abnormality in his life.
And they're like, what is it? And she illustrates by doing horrible comedy.
Naki actually says, sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Grabs the futon off,
throws it on the ground, and then she makes a pun on, you know, the futo hitting or the futon hitting the ground
using Fuad's name.
Yeah, and he dies.
He dies.
Can't hold it in.
Dies laughing. It's a double one. Ugh! Laughs so hard he falls off the bed.
Yeah. Rip.
Naki even says that's how you know it's Aruto.
Yeah, she straight up does a classic Aruto pun.
So Aruto.
Did I say Naruto?
No, I said Naruto.
Oh, okay.
Aruto, I think, even before this thing, is just straight up Fuwa's favorite comedian.
You know, I think, yes. I think that's
it is. It's like Aruto's brand of comedy is his favorite brand of comedy. And
it's just
like,
that he can't admit it to Aruto. Yeah. So now he gets to actually laugh.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he has any shame left. They both heard his entire life story.
So then it goes to the greenhouse, and the son is using the Zaya set pack.
Yeah, Zaya spec. He's working real hard, like... Aruto comes in and sees what's going on. The father's like, I can't get him to stop. And the kid's just sitting there. You know, Aruto's trying to talk to him. Like, why are you doing this? And he's just tapping away, not paying attention. He goes to physically touch him. And he's just like, get her off of me. Like, throws his, you know, hands
up. He's like, I got to do this. Got to save the vegetables.
Yeah, we can't let the farm go under.
Yeah.
You know, and since Midori's gone, I have to pick up the slack. And whatever vegetables that can be saved. Like, he's not downplaying his fault in this now.
Yeah.
Because he did just do some damage. It's just that even now, more than before, he needs to work to save what they can.
Yeah.
Which I can understand that. I can. Like, yeah, sure, you did just lose control
and
for
especially
a second.
Now you maybe think you're on a time limit till you go berserk again. Mm-hmm. So you gotta go as quick as you
can. Every second. Like, if his dad did not call Aruto, this kid would be working like
until he passed out.
Yeah. Probably die from lack of water or something like that in short order.
And he says something about the fact that it's his dad's dream.
Yeah, and so it's worth the risk. And we see a flashback to
Kid Aruto and his robot dad.
Yeah, we've seen it like four times in the series.
Yeah.
But every single time that they show it, it has additional meaning.
Yeah.
So it's like, I admire how many times they're replaying this footage and it still works.
Yeah.
But I kind of want additional footage of the dad at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because it's like, so this is a hard thing because it's a hard thing to say, but it's actually like, it's one of those things that's true. But, like, people don't really talk about it. Like, in Western media, the relationships with fathers and sons are mostly bad.
Usually. Yeah, it seems like it.
It's usually mothers are given the positive light, and dads are usually given the mm-hmm. negative light. And
yeah, like, if you need an antagonist in the family, it's usually the dad.
Yeah. Not just saying that there aren't actually, like, good father figures and stuff like that. Sure, I'm just saying that, like, if... It's at least 75% fathers are the problem in the family.
Yeah.
Right? Or like they're harsh or they're cold uh-huh. or they're
trying to
like,
teach you a life lesson through
yeah.
alcohol and yeah. cigarettes.
Yeah. So
but no, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. But I don't usually see that often in I see it happens also in Japanese media and stuff like that. But I really like the thing is like the end message usually is in American media is like you don't need your dad.
Yeah, just be, you know, yeah. be your own man.
But in Japanese media it's usually like, well, if you have a problem with your dad, you should try to like probably fix that.
Yeah, patch it up.
Like there was that show Dad of Light, the Final Fantasy Dad of Light, which is like kid couldn't talk to his dad, so he like set up his dad with a Final Fantasy 14 online account, and
they play together.
They played together, but he didn't tell his dad that was him.
Yeah, so he doesn't know that he's playing.
So they,
his son.
Yeah, so they like became friends in the game, and then he told him he was his dad.
Smooth.
Yeah, but it's like it's refreshing to see.
Yeah,
because it's like, oh yeah, it's like, oh yeah, he had a good robot dad.
Mm-hmm. He had a good robot dad. Yeah,
and like we were told that he has a robot dad that looks just like his dad because his dad actually died.
Yeah.
And so, but then he starts thinking about like Hirobi.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like,
this is like the final piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And so the dad comes over and he thanks his son.
Yeah.
Like he understands now why he's putting up, like he's doing this. Even though it's dangerous for both of them, it's still, he understands like this is the only way to make it work. And so
then it cuts to the army.
Yeah. Okay. So we see
guy just walking in the woods.
Yeah. You see guy and his entourage from the feet up. And then you see Hirobi and his entourage from the feet up.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, you see these guys walking up each other in the woods in the park. And just imagine you're walking your dog and you look over and there's just like armed Ames and like Metsu Jinrai. And you're like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Do you whip out your camera or do you start running?
In me, I'd be like, is there a LARP going on?
Yeah, do you become... That's just it. It's like, is this going to get good or am I in danger?
Dude, I never even thought about that, man.
LARPing is...
No, like how many cool LARP things you could do if you had a bunch of human gears?
Oh, dude, yeah.
There would be the NPCs?
Yeah, you could set them up as NPCs. You could probably download NPC stuff.
Dude, that'd be so sick. You'd have like the shop owners and all that stuff and all the like townspeople are like... are like the characters, and then you have the people come in, and like they're the players, and it's oh man, that'd be so awesome,
right? Renfair is going off the hook,
yeah, and it would be like,
but yeah, so they meet up, they start doing that whole today you're like, gonna die. Like
you have a bunch of robots. What do you do? The nerdiest thing I could possibly think.
It's like, what are we making human-like robots for, if not for that?
Yeah, come on. But yeah, so they go, and they're, like, facing off against each other.
Yeah, it's like, me and my crew versus you and your crew.
Yeah.
It's like, and then the beat starts, and they start dancing.
Yeah. They tie their hands together. They start doing yeah, dance-offs.
But they set up they split up into teams of five. We got a rap competition down here. Yeah. They're all talking about your mother. You got dance competition down here.
Yeah. But anyway, so...
These guys are playing poker.
Yeah, so... they transform.
Yeah, Henshins, big clash.
And they're staring at each other, and then they run at each other.
Yeah, so you see them staring at each other through the throng of bodies. Because, like, we just see a really cool scene of Magir versus Ames.
Yeah, Ames, hard soldiers.
Yeah, hard soldiers. They were, like, what was it, a horseshoe crab?
Yeah, I think horseshoe crab.
Horseshoe crab, yeah. So, and that was pretty cool. It's actually decent. I thought it was going to be a lot worse. Usually we see like maybe three, and then there's some stock footage copy pasted. But no, it looks like they actually choreographed this.
So what is it's nice is that like this is during whole COVID thing, but because they're all in suits, they're technically all wearing masks.
Yeah,
so they can be there can be more of them together.
But yeah, no, they like you said, they're staring each other down, and they slowly walk through the crowd, and then they like start rushing and meet in the middle, and they're clashing, and so this fight's going on around them.
Yeah,
and it's pretty cool. Like they got their own choreography going on, which is by itself awesome. But you're also seeing like these bullets whiz through and like bombs going.
Yeah,
off.
They fight until they like get away from the main battle.
Yeah, they end up kicking each other onto the road next to the park.
Yeah, and I mean this is to be expected. Hirobi's no match for Thouser.
Yeah, you know he.
The Hirobi is based off of the previous is an entry level Kamen Rider.
Yeah,
you know, and Thouser is like phase two.
Yeah,
but then like Metal Cluster and them are like phase three.
Yeah, because he's getting you know he's doing pretty well until Thouser starts pulling out his huge bag of tricks. Like he hits him with like thunder and like crushes him with a mammoth foot, and he like you know does a
he jacks him. Yeah,
he jacks poison from him, and he's getting ready to finish off Hirobi.
Yeah.
And I think at this point he's dehensioned, right?
Yeah, so he got knocked down, and yeah, he's trying to finish, or... Yeah,
because he hit him with the thing and like kicked him back, and so he's dehensioned. He's getting ready. He's charging up a jacking break.
It launches a jacking break.
And Arto jumps in and takes a jacking break.
Which is the scorpion tail.
So Arto jumps in and takes the hit.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's just saying it out loud. It just
Yeah, he takes the scorpion
Arto
tail.
Arto takes a jacking break.
He takes the scorpion tail, but he was at just base 01.
Yeah, regular 01.
So he's hurt. To be fair, I think regular 01's quicker than anything else.
Yeah, I imagine it has to do with speed. Yeah. Like,
and also effects. It just looks thematically good. And remember, we like base 01.
Yeah.
Base 01 rocks.
It looks dope.
You know, as I say, they try to make the base form the best looking form. The base form and the final form, they try to make like... So base form's really awesome. Final form is hit or miss.
Hit or miss, because it depends on how many frills they decide to throw on it. Like how much extra it is.
Yeah, because it's like... Oh man!
Like for example, Saber looks great early, and I do like the cosmic suit. It's just like there's certain things where I'm like, he probably could have laid off there. Like he didn't need Cheeto fingers.
Yeah,
you know he doesn't need quite as much. I don't know what the term for it is, but it looks like there's like a coat of something under a glaze.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like it's a little heavy on it, but still cool.
Yeah. So, but then there's ones like. To be fair, the bad Zio form you saw technically is in his final form.
Okay.
It's the final form of the good Zio.
Yeah. I liked Decades better than Zio's, but I don't like either of them.
Oh, no.
It's just if Decades, I had to choose one or the other.
Decades is super bad. Yeah. You want to see something super bad? You should see the Zio armor of Decades' final form.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, I bet.
Literally, his face is an iPad.
It is so gross. I don't know. I don't like either of them, so maybe I'm misremembering. It's just I like
They're both bad. You've seen the final form of Double.
Yeah.
Extreme, that's fine.
Yeah.
You've seen a glimpse of the final form of
Kuga. Like in the fire or whatever just recently.
But
technically I've seen the final form of 71, right?
No,
there's a final form?
Yeah.
I thought that was just what you see is what you get. All right.
No, there's a couple of different upgrades of 71.
Oh, I got something to look forward to.
And also, oh man, when he comes back in the Ichigo movie in like the ghost era, completely different.
Okay.
Right. It's like, what happened, man? Because it's also, because they make the suit look like it's for the older Fujioka. So he's like a huge guy.
Okay.
Because he's a much bigger guy. Like, he's not a fat guy, but he's a much like wider, buffer looking guy. And so they make the suit look like this tank. But,
So Arto takes the hit and he's sitting there like in front of Hirobi. He's like, you know, obviously now he's even more confused. He's like everyone's just jumping in front of bullets today.
He's like, what are you doing? He's like, why did you shave Jin? That wasn't the will of the arc.
It's because you're his dad.
Yeah.
He's like, whoa. His father, brother.
Yeah.
Things have gotten so weird. And
well, technically he's his father and mother because he just created him.
And he's like, look, you're not the arc. You're you.
You have a dream.
Yeah.
And this is when, and like we said, dream is a trigger word in this show. And so it makes a realization for Hirobi, but it just pisses Guy off.
Dude, the thing is, at this point, like, let's say it never was his trigger word. This many times you're hearing it, and yeah, it's being used in such a way that it's actually affecting people. Mm-hmm. Let's say he was just a regular dude. I would be pissed off. It's like, oh, you're worried about the dreams of the friggin' terrorist. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay, I'm the bad guy. Yeah. Oh, I guess I'm the bad guy. And Arto's like, yeah, you're the bad guy.
Yeah, yeah. You are the bad guy. What? How am I the bad guy?
He is, but yeah.
How am I the bad guy?
Yeah, even if he was a good guy, he would be driven to villainy at this point.
Yeah. Like, he's like, why are you giving a freaking toaster a dream?
Yeah. That's just a tool.
In his mind, that's what you're doing.
He's like, hey, he's not a tool, you're a tool. And Metal Cluster Hopper.
Yeah.
And he comes in, they're fighting. There's no way Thouser's winning this fight unless he brings three Geigers with him.
Yeah. Knocks him into the other room. And, yeah, I forgot. Guy has resources.
Yeah. And, you know, he fights them pretty well. Like, he's using the locust. He's doing some kicks and whatnot. But I feel like these have been upgraded.
Yeah.
Seems like they're putting up a better fight than
last
time.
They are different than the previous ones.
Yeah.
They have, like, a different colorization and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They do. And so they're doing pretty good, too. So they slam them down.
If anything, I think they probably are, like, hard Geigers.
Yeah.
Like,
like
the same thing that they use to make the horseshoe crabs kind of things.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
But I mean, they would have to have upgraded them after the last time that they got hacked, right? But
and so they're working Aruto. Aruto's finding his own, and so there's a possibility that Aruto could still win.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's on the defensive right now.
Right. And then seemingly he's about to get crushed by this punch, or at least hit really hard.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to be done there, but it looks like he's about to take a serious hit, and then all of a sudden the Geiger stops.
Yeah.
And it's, like, stalled there.
And then it starts flashing, and, like, it stops. And then it shows all of the
all of Ames and all of the Magi, they kind of stop. They're fighting.
And then Naki.
Ames is down.
And then it shows Guy, and he's like, what the crap? And then Naki comes up. It's like, mm-hmm. I was your tool, man. I know all your tricks.
Yeah, and now, like, Hirobi's dream is mine.
Yes, like, there is no firewall you can build that can stop me.
Yeah.
It's like,
and I love this scene because, like, he's sitting there, he's looking down the street at Naki and Hirobi, and Hirobi's starting to stand back up. And then he turns around, and all of the Ames people he brought with him and all of the Magi are, like in a semicircle coming towards him. And so the next thing you know, they're attacking him, and he's, like, fighting them off. He gets kind of knocked back into the forest.
Yeah.
Just, like, wailing on all of these, you know, pests, essentially. Yeah. But there's enough of them to keep him busy.
He manages to basically clear the room, for lack of a better term. He clears the area. And then in the smoke, Hirobi comes back. And
round two.
Yeah. And
now with a dream.
Yeah, now with a dream.
And dude, does he get rocked. Like, he just destroys Thouser.
Yeah.
In the most Mortal Kombat finish away.
If you do want to be like, well, he shit the power scaling and all that stuff, you're like, first off, dreams make you more powerful than ever before. But plus, there's no telling. Naki might have hacked his suit.
Yeah. It's like, maybe he's been like unshackled here.
Yeah.
Right.
Either I'm saying Naki might have hacked Thouser's suit.
Oh, it's to slow Thouser down.
Yeah, yeah.
I like any combination of these things.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a dozen reasons.
He has a dream, he's been buffed, and Thouser's been nerfed, and then there you have it.
Where you go. Everything's good. And yeah, he does the finishing move so much like you get to see so much more of it because it's not a dark
warehouse. When he kicked Fu in the throat.
Yeah. And he just like kicks straight through Thouser's chest. You know?
It's brutal. And they even show there's like what looks like blood coming out. It's like reddish.
It's supposed to be the poison.
Oh, okay.
The scorpion poison. Because then they can get away with being poisoned.
Yeah.
And he's like gets knocked down and is unhensioned.
And at that moment, I also like this because I was thinking to myself, am I supposed to be rooting for this? I do want Hirobi to kick Thouser's ass, but then she just hacked all of Ames, and that's not good. Especially when she said that Hirobi's dream is her dream, and I'm like, oh, this isn't good at all. This is not good in any way. There's nothing to fight them. She's hacked them, too.
Yeah.
But as soon as Thouser was down, she released all of her control over...
Yeah. Was it Naki who said it, or was it... somebody said that people were the problem. Something along those lines about, like... Was it here or is it later?
I think it was Aruto when he was talking to Thouser.
Yeah.
Thouser was talking about why are you giving this toaster a dream, and then Aruto was giving.
Aruto was saying that it's basically that people like Thouser are the reason why there's people like Horobi.
Uh-huh.
It's like people not being kind to...
Taking care of Metsubo Jinrai is putting a Band-Aid on the situation.
Yeah.
Getting rid of Thouser
yeah.
is actually suturing the wound.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah, I was like, there was a line with basically people are the problem. Mm-hmm. Like people like you are the problem. Mm-hmm. It's like there's this cycle of violence. And guess what? You started that cycle.
Yeah. and yeah, so the Ames officers, they wake up and they're like, what's been happening? Because last they remember, they were kicking ass in the woods
yeah.
against some robots. And then suddenly they're all laying down. And guy's like,
inconceivable.
Inconceivable. 1,000% inconceivable. And he's like raging out like, grrr.
Guys are like, sir, what are you doing? He says, go off.
Yeah. See, before he hit rock, he didn't hit rock bottom because he had that sort of velvet cushion of money and power. But now he's been publicly humiliated. Like yeah. he probably is losing so much stock over the incident. Oh yeah.
And remember, he's not the boss of Zaya. He's uh-huh. boss of Zaya Japan.
Yeah. He could be replaced.
Yeah. He has people over him.
And the thing is that his only hope to solve the situation is to get rid of Metsubo Jinrai, to say there are no more terrorists to hack the system.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And there's nothing he can do about it.
Yeah. It's like, the thing is like up until Naki getting free, he could say everything was his plan.
Uh-huh.
Or within his expectations. Uh-huh. But Naki hacking the system threw all of that out of the window.
Oh, it's gone, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like at any moment she can take and do that again.
Yeah.
Like,
and so he leaves with his goons and they just let him go.
Yeah, in a huff. What's he gonna do?
Yeah, he's not even a threat anymore.
Yeah, what is he gonna do?
I mean,
obviously murder is a perfectly good solution here, just that, you know, this is not that show. And who's gonna call him out? It's not like they're trying to be the noble saviors of mankind.
So the only reason I don't think I mean like it's this show. So but the in show reason why Horobi just doesn't kill Guy is he now has a connection with Aruto.
Yeah, no, this is, and to illustrate that point, this very next scene,
yeah.
Horobi and Naki are walking off and Aruto is like he says something about oh my god, what does he say to Horobi? Cuz Horobi says, you know what, kid, you're different. Like that kind of thing.
He says something about his dream.
Yeah.
He's like, have you found your dream, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, because it was something that like I didn't write down because it was so generic and we've heard it a million times. So it has to be something about the dream.
And he's just like...
He's like, you're different from the other humans.
And he's and like, then, he's just like, yeah, my dream is that human gears and humans will live together in peace.
Right. And up to this point, Horobi's heard this before. It's just that it's all hollow, empty words.
Yeah.
Except that now he's changed his opinion a bit. It's like, well, maybe.
Well, yeah. It's like, that's the thing about Aruto is that he follows through
yeah.
to the point of nearly dying all the time.
Yeah. And he's like, you know what? Maybe you're right.
He actually means what he says.
And so he kind of walks off, smirk, mutual respect earned, you know?
Yeah.
And like, he's been kind of convinced maybe there's a different way to do things.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still going to go through with his plan.
Yeah.
But
he's like, he's not 100% sure that it's the right way.
Yeah. In fact, I would say that if his plan goes through with the arc, fine. But if not, hopefully your plan goes through.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's like, you're the second best as far as I'm, and maybe he can get, it definitely there's, it sets the stage for him to make a full swing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the coolest thing that can happen for the series if they become, if they hit the writer list at the end of this, man. I'm telling you, I want them on there.
So then it goes to the greenhouse and Aruto comes in with Midori.
Yes. It's like, hey, sorry it took so long to restore her. Obviously things are going on.
And yeah.
And they're like, you know, thank you so much for, like, so, we really need this.
I think it's like 2 days.
Yeah. Well, you know,
yeah,
but who knows what the time skip was between then and now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kid's not wearing the glasses anymore. That's important to say. Yeah. There's no Zaya speck on his head because Midori's back. And it seems like everything has been handled.
Yeah.
So,
calm down.
You know. So, you know, there's slaps in the back around. I'm being metaphorical.
They're
here.
Like, yes, 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 yes. And then Midori is just like, the vegetables are calling to me.
Yeah.
And then she turns and takes up some back, turns back around, and she says, let us harvest. And like makes the same joke Aruto did
at the start. And then everyone else finishes his punchline.
That's how you know it's Aruto. It's like, that's my joke.
And it looks like he's.
He's like
got tears in his eyes, like half mad that they've took his joke, but also happy that they appreciate it,
yeah.
the comedy. So it's like, yes, recognition, but also that's my punchline.
Yeah. And so,
because he tries to like follow up weekly with his own. Like,
yeah. And then they go off and he's just like, So then it goes to Mitsubo Jinrai.
Yeah. So it's all, you're seeing shots of like establishing shots of the walls and the ceilings and faces.
The 3D printer is running in the background.
Boop, boop, boop. And you see the data transfer complete and you see the back of somebody stepping up out of something. Like you see like some, like a cool looking jacket on some shoulders and, it's, Rai's back.
Yeah, Rai. Izuguchi.
Yeah, he's back. So the four horsemen.
Ikazuchi. It's the same as the sword.
Uh-huh.
It's just, we say it wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like all four Mitsubo Jinrai together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it ends.
Yeah, well, they're back and they, I can't remember who says it. It's like, I think Gene says it. So now we're all back together. And then it ends with, we see the opening, or not the opening, but we see that the next episode's going to have the Izu that has been in
not the next episode.
Well, no, because like I said, I'm just talking about the episode before we get to the bummer here.
Yeah,
is that the preview for the next episode shows the evil Izu, and
so they knew about this. So this, so the thing is like the 35.5 is the episode they showed in the trailer.
Hmm.
And I don't know if that's a full episode.
Okay,
but that is the next numbered episode after the specials.
So the thing, okay, this is what I'm thinking happened is, right, like they filmed the episode and maybe they even started filming the next one and they're like, hey, look, we're gonna have to shut down.
Yeah.
And so the obviously the people editing the episode, they can change whatever they want to make it work. They probably threw in whatever scenes they're like, let's just make this look,
it's
like
also,
an
it's
ending,
also
kind of,
it's also possible, and this happens too, that they put this next time on for the Blu-ray release.
Yeah. Oh, that's good point. Good point.
So if the shooting specials were not on the Blu-rays, the Japanese Blu-rays, then they would recut this the next time on.
Yeah. So we see a preview for an episode that hopefully is the next episode, because I don't really know. It looked interesting.
Yeah, it's 35.5. So it is the, there's the two president specials.
Yeah.
The shooting special, and I think one more, and then 35.5. And then 36.
Okay.
So, so suck.
So, okay. So other than being super bummed that
this is where it breaks.
Yes. Cause this is like the
getting good stuff.
So hyped. Like, this would be like you're just about to start your shonen battle arc, like tournament arc. And then it's like, taking a hiatus, long hiatus.
Yeah.
You know, you're waiting for Berserk for years and years and years.
How long were they on the boat?
Oh, it's a nightmare, man. A long time.
I think if you read it now, it doesn't feel like that long, but like if you were at the...
Well, no, I could read it all right now. I'm just saying the wait between each thing. I'm an older man now. Like,
I mean, that's one of the reasons I stopped reading D. Gray, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it went to being on a quarterly magazine, and then like sometimes it skips that, so it's one issue after 6 months, and then they come out with an issue that's like 5 pages, and then it's just like...
So other than being bummed out about something that might not even turn out bad, you know, like this is just me being worried that it's definitely not going to be up to expectations. The episode was a little digital. I mean, there was a lot. I mean, I really liked the platform thing, but, you know, the Geigers I'm never a huge deal of. Like, even though the clash scene with Hirobi and Thouser fighting was cool, some of the explosions were a little kind of basic, like a kid just throwing an explosion thing on the screen.
The thing is that I feel like the CGI was subpar for 01.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
Because they've done it better. There's some worse examples. I'm just saying that I really don't have anything I really hate about this episode.
Yeah, so I could feel like the... So, personally, I probably think they were just rushed.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, we gotta get out of the office. We can't come back.
You guys are too close together.
Yeah, you gotta... And Japan is famously not known for their work at home being very good at all. So, for me, my suck is, like, I understand like what they were going for, but I don't understand why they had Aruto get like hurt. I mean, like, just for the impact for Hirobi.
Yeah, because that's just it. It's because he has to take damage for it to be him making a sacrifice play.
Yeah.
If he just blocks it handily, then it's just him being a hero and doing heroic things. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. There's a subtlety there that I'm not explaining in words, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And like, I'm fine with how it turned out, and it's a cool scene and everything like that. Yeah. But when you look at it objectively, you're like,
it's like, okay.
Like,
it's like he could have, he, if he
either, it, like, he just either base forms is a lot faster and he needed it to get there.
Maybe,
Or Aruto's very manipulative.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's just it. It's like either he has to take this damage to get his point across, which is kind of weird when you think about it.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just not smart enough to realize that Shining Hopper would have done the job better, or Metal Cluster could have thrown up a
shield. Maybe
he
can't ride his motorcycle as Shining Hopper.
Yeah, that's how I was going to say that. I forgot to mention it. It's like maybe he had to get there on the motorcycle. But there's been so many times where he's transformed in the blink of an eye. This really comes down to the Toku time.
Yeah.
It's really, I knew the purpose, so that's why I didn't really think about it.
Like, when we get to the XL movie, the Toku time, I that is already my suck of that movie.
And we haven't even started watching it yet. Yeah, that's not good. That is not good. Yeah. It's like, I'll have to challenge you to find a different suck.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, what is your Sugoi?
This is like an epic story arc, if you really think about it. Like, with how it ended, it really satisfies a lot of the negatives going through with it. The four of them getting back together shouldn't be cool. It should be like, oh, but no, I'm like pumped. Like, I got to see the next episode now. Yeah. Let's see we got two new members popping up out of nowhere. Hirobi and Jin have apparently reconciled, and we've never seen what full back up to speed Metsubo Jinrai can do.
Yeah.
And every single time there's a new member, it's always some huge deal. Like, we never actually got to see what Rai could do. He just showed back up, switched, and then had a fight. But, you know, there's any number of reasons why he lost that fight as easily as he did.
Yeah.
And now he's back in some fresh threads.
And we've only barely seen him as the character of Rai.
Yeah, because we've only seen him as Big Bro's space brother.
Space brother, yeah. So, yeah. My Sugoi, because I love all those things, too.
Yeah.
But I love it that Fool was just a normal guy.
Yeah. They didn't give him some sort of like, you were 20 years on the force. Age 6, they put a gun in your hands.
Yeah. Because even though they completely ruined it. That
Damn
was
it,
my
Fool,
favorite.
You're a fine cop.
That was my favorite part of the second new Star Wars movie. I forgot which one it is. The Force Awakens. Not The Force Awakens. The Last Jedi, making her just a normal person. I thought that was the best thing they ever could do. And then they ruined it in the next movie.
And then they ruined it by making her like the granddaughter of Palpatine or whatever. Yeah.
And we talked about that before on this podcast. Yeah. But so I love the fact that he's just a guy.
Yeah, because we've complained considerably about how like the person can't just be a person. They have to be the hero of legend.
Yeah.
Or the plot can't just be the plot. It has to be somehow connected with saving the universe.
The best,
you know.
The best thing I love about Batman is when there is no Joe Chill.
Yeah.
When it's just some guy killed his parents and probably he already put that person in jail.
Yeah, before we started going down the route of the Bat God.
Yeah.
When Batman was just Batman.
Yeah.
And is Batman doing Batman things. But dear God, yeah.
Yeah, it's like just the...
It is kind of refreshing too. It's what he needs, right? Like he doesn't need to be some like...
He started it as the guy.
Yeah, the guy.
And now he can be just a guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he can find his dream. And now he can have a dream because like the show is all about dreams.
Uh-huh.
He can find his own dream.
Yeah, he can be a person.
And he has his choice, you know. So, I mean, his dream is probably just be Aruto's dream.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to like kind of somehow, if not precisely that, damn near.
Yeah.
You know, the Coke versus Pepsi, just a little bit more sugar.
So.
I do want to say that it was really cool that somehow, some way, Aruto has gotten on Hirobi's tender side. I don't want to say good side, but there's a soft spot now in Hirobi's mechanical heart for Aruto there.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to kill you last.
Yes.
Or no, I'll kill you first so you don't have to see the rest of humanity die.
So now...
I don't know which one's worse.
So now we have to write a ranking.
Mm-hmm.
And Fuwa and Yua did nothing in this episode.
No. Zip. It's just who did. I don't know. It's like you.
Right now, the ranking is 0-1 Vulcan Valkyrie, and I don't see any reason to change that.
Uh huh. The question is, I guess the question is, what are we doing with Vulcan on the list? Where is he?
He is. It's like he is. It's Vulcan Valkyrie and Ichigo are the last ones.
Oh, okay. So he's
pretty much as low as he can go.
Yeah, they're all as low as they can go. And Aruto, did he do anything to knock down or go up here? Like, where is he on the list?
He is below XL, above Nigo.
Oh, okay.
And Excel's Heaven's a pretty strong episode.
It is, yeah.
It's and like, so it's like, do?
I mean, I guess
we talked about being more fluid, but it's just, I mean, Excel is in his final arc of yeah. like getting his superpower, of like revenge, you know. Uh-huh.
I mean, like we, like okay, like he convincing Hirobi is cool, but it's not like he did anything new to do that.
You know what? I think he should go above Excel on the count of him appealing to Hirobi as a father.
Uh-huh. I suppose that's a good way to do that. And he had to come up and connect a lot of dots to make that work.
Yeah. And then also, after he saw that whole thing, he realized the son. And, like, he's like, he knows that it's dangerous, but he's just like, he needs this.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. like, I'm not going against his will, even though it's something, you know?
Yeah, even though he doesn't approve of him using Zyaspec, he can see why it's important that he does everything he can to protect the farm, basically. And, yeah, I think he never overreacted this episode, which is a powerful thing to say for Aruto.
Yeah.
Like, he stayed on top of Jean at the start, which was dope.
Yes.
Usually they're just flying off and it's gone.
He didn't let people just leave.
Right. And then when they did leave, it was because, hey, all of Japan is in chaos. We need you.
Yeah.
And sure, he didn't get there in time to do anything because it like almost as soon he was made aware of it. She's like, oh, it's settled down now.
Yeah.
But the point is that the two priorities, this one's the one that he can deal with.
Yeah.
He can always get Metsubijin right later.
Yeah. I don't think he's above Kuga.
No, not after that episode.
Yeah. But so he's at number 3, which I think is a good place, right?
I think it's a good place, too.
So it is Double at 1, Kuga at 2, 01 at 3, XL at 4, Nigo at 5, Vulcan at 6, Valkyrie at 7, and Ichigo at 8. And remember, Ichigo comes back episode 40.
Okay, so we're getting closer.
Yeah, so...
And he gets a chance.
So it's going to be hard, though, because if we do the thing where we watch the movies, like the super bomb movies, hopefully, will be like... He'll have to compete with those. Uh-huh.
It's going to be rough. But, hey, that's the name of the game.
So, the next episodes of 01 are, there are two President specials.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an Aruto special and a Guy special, I think.
Okay.
For two specials.
Okay, Presidents. Yeah, so, yeah, okay.
And then there is a shooting special, which is Vulcan Valkyrie, I think.
Okay.
Because they both
not to be infused with the movies, right?
Yeah. These are just the half an hour, like, basically recap episodes.
Okay.
With, like, little things here and there. And then there is the Super Work Wars. I have no idea what those are. Part 1 and 2.
I bet you they're just showing all the Huma gear.
Yeah, probably. And then it is the... How was Metsubo Jinrai created special, which is the 35.5, which is what we saw the trailer for.
Okay. So, gotcha.
So there's those five specials, but at the very least, we'll watch at least the President's specials together.
Okay.
We'll watch those two, one and two together, and then we'll see how much information is necessary if we can just keep going.
Right. Because the only thing that I'm bumming about this so far, and the reason why I was hoping this could all be done at the back end, which is not possible, is that now we're going to be doing episode 145, season, you know, episode 36 of 71, and then 46, episode 36, 47, episode 36, and then finally it's going to get to 35.5, and then it's going to be way messed up from this
point
forward.
So we're going to, the rotations, so.
We're going to have to be paying serious attention to what we're doing.
Yes.
Damn it, I'm too lazy.
But our next episode will be of
71.
Kamen Rider 71, episode 36, entitled, Some Weird Monster Does Some Weird Stuff. No, that's right. The Revived Mummy Monster Egyptus.
Egyptus, okay.
Yes.
I wonder what it's going to be.
A pill bug.
Yeah. No.
If you want to follow us on the website, you can follow us at fanboyopinion.com. Follow us on Twitter, fanboy_opinion. We should be on every podcast thing. You can email us at fanboyopinion@gmail.com. Until next time, I've been Eric.
And I'm Eugene.
And we will see you then.